We come to you again today, and we're studying together the Gospel through John. And today we start with chapter 4. You remember, in the first four chapters of the Gospel through John, the Lord is dealing with individuals. He dealt, for example, in the first chapter with Andrew, with John, with Philip, and in chapter 2 you've got his mother Mary and his disciples and his brethren. In chapter 3, we had Nicodemus concerning the new birth, the need of it, and so on. And the chapter ended with the preeminence of Christ, with a heavenly testimony, with a heavenly origin, and may I add, heavenly authority. Now we come to chapter 4. And here we have our Lord dealing with a sinful Samaritan woman. In chapter 3, he was dealing with one of the leading teachers of the people of Israel. And there, the topic was the new birth. But when you come to chapter 4, he is dealing with a sinful Samaritan woman. And the topic becomes the Godhead, the revelation of God in his person. Now, if you and I were preaching, especially down, say, at some gospel mission, we would have swung that around. We would have preached the new birth. Men need to be born again. And then when we dealt with some of the religious folk, we'd deal with the Godhead. But the Lord didn't do that. And Nicodemus, who was a religious leader, he needed a revelation of himself, how he stood before God. The woman in Samaria, she didn't need to be told that she had to be born again. She knew that. She knew she was born wrong. What she needed was a revelation of God. She had a distorted idea of God. She had no hope of the flesh. Now with Nicodemus, he did. Nicodemus, he thought he was pretty good. He was a religious leader. I'm sure he was a fervent, devout religionist, a moralist. And if you had said that he was in the category of sinners, of publicans, he would have resented that. So what Nicodemus needed was a revelation of himself as he stood before God. And hence our Lord said to Nicodemus in chapter 3, Nicodemus, do you know what's wrong with you? You're born wrong. You've got to be born again if you're going to see the kingdom of God. If you even enter the kingdom of God, you've got to be born again. So chapter 3 deals with this question. But when you come to chapter 4, you have an entirely different situation. I say again, this dear woman, this Samaritan who were despised by the Jews, and not only was she a Samaritan despised by the Jews, but she was such a sinful woman, she was despised by the Samaritan women. She was an outcast, and she met the Savior. And the theme of the chapter is Christ, the water of life. If you want a heading for the chapter, Christ, the water of life. And by the way, this is a wonderful chapter on soul winning. It's a wonderful chapter on how to reach people. Here you have Jesus meeting a thirsty, sinful, seeking soul. And in the chapter, you'll find that the Lord broke down every barrier. The sex barrier, the race barrier, the moral barriers were all broken down because he's going to meet a woman who was really in need. Now in the chapter, I'm giving an overview of the chapter for a moment. There are three revelations in the chapter. There's the revelation of the Father, the revelation of the Son, and the revelation of the woman. And there are three great missions in the chapter. There's our Lord's mission, there was this woman's mission, and there is our mission. I just suggest that as you read the chapter through, let me repeat it again. The Lord Jesus is meeting a sinful woman who needs the reality of God in her life. She needs to be corrected as to the person of God. And her need must be met. And to meet her need, all barriers must be broken down between Christ and the woman. And he does that. Now there are three revelations in the chapter. The revelation, first of all, of the woman. And then there's the revelation of the Father. Then there's the revelation of Jesus Christ the Son. There are three missions, distinct missions, in the chapter. Our Lord's mission, the mission of the woman, and our mission. Now, let me get down to the text. In the first 8 verses, you have the beginning of the chapter, the occasion where a woman comes in her need for water. Now, keep this in mind, in the first 8 verses, the need for water. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. It was about the 6th hour. That'd be about noon, high noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith to her, Give me a drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Let me just stop right here. The need for Jesus Christ to go through Samaria. Why? Because there was a hungry, sinful, hopeless woman needing help, needing him. And you'll notice that he sends the 12 disciples into the town to get something to eat. And he stayed on the well alone. Why? He doesn't want those disciples running around while he's talking to this woman. He must go through Samaria because there was a sinner there needing a redeemer, needing a savior. By the way, the Lord Jesus must, of necessity, come to the earth. Why? Because there are so many folk needing a Savior from sin. Do you ever stop to think of it? God sent His Son. What for? To save man from sin. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I say the necessity of our Lord going through Samaria. Mark something else, you soul winners. He didn't want anybody else around when he was talking to this woman. No third party needed. Spoils the picture. You try to talk to somebody about their soul, I suggest you talk to them alone. You see, when a person has a third party, they're not going to open up their heart. And they'll be on the defensive. So to get rid of the 12 disciples, he said, you fellows go over there and get something to eat. He sent them into the city to buy bread, to buy meat, to get something to eat. And here came the woman at noon, in the middle of the day, to draw water. Now you know that this woman wouldn't be there at high noon. The women came early in the morning, in the cool of the morning and in the cool of the evening. This was the place where the women gathered and got all the gossip of the day. They all came and they all looked forward to it. I remember being in Central America one time in Guatemala, where we came to a village and the women were all around the well getting water. They were chatting in no hurry to leave because this was the opportunity of meeting the women of the village, and they talked and chatted and so on. But this woman is a sinner. She's not accepted by the women of Samaria. She's a sinful woman. And she wearily goes out in the middle of the day to get her water. You can just get the picture. And when she came to the well, Jesus was sitting on the well. Now, verse 9. First of all, you'll notice that the Lord made the first move. Jesus put himself under obligation to the woman when he said, Give me a drink. Isn't it amazing when you think of it? In chapter 2, our Lord just spoke the word, and water was turned into wine. Now he says, You give me a drink. In the first place, I want you to mark something. This astounded the woman. You take verse 9. How is it that you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. They look down their noses on the Samaritans. Samaritans were part Jews and part Gentiles. I don't want to go into that. When the Babylonians came over and took Jerusalem into captivity in the days of Jeremiah, the poor were left in the land. And the colonists who came from Syria and Babylon, they mixed up with the poor of the land. They intermarried. They had their own Pentateuch and so forth and so on. But there was a great barrier between the two. In fact, when the Jews left Jerusalem or Judea to go to Galilee, they went up by the River Jordan. They wouldn't go through Samaria. They despised the Samaritans. And Jesus must needs go through Samaria. He's going to talk to this woman. Secondly, you want to mark something else. Jesus was a rabbi, he was a teacher. And for a rabbi to start and talk to an outcast Samaritan woman is unheard of. That's why she said, "How was it you, being a Jew, asked a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Listen, you know, the Lord Jesus knew this woman. He knew what she was. And he put himself under obligation to her when he said, "Give me a drink." That's very simple, isn't it? Give me a drink. And here this rabbi put himself under obligation to an outcast Samaritan woman. "Give me a drink." You see him, he immediately he's got a curiosity stirred up. So when you come down to verse 9, reading down through verse 14, you have the topic of conversation. And notice the topic of conversation was water. Was water. Listen to what he said. If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith to you, "Give me to drink," you would have asked of him. He would have given you living water. "Well," said the woman, "you've got nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where do you have this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and cattle?" Jesus said to her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Let me just stop here. Here is the topic of conversation. Woman, if you only knew who was talking to you, you would ask of him. He'd give you living water. Well, where have you got this living water? You've got no pot to draw with, and the well is deep. Where have you got this water? Are you greater than Jacob, our father, and so on? Notice the answer of our Savior in verses 13 and 14. "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." You know, friend, the world is ever thirsty, but never satisfied. You know what I mean? One half of the world is trying to satisfy the other half of the world, and they're never, never satisfied. Take a man who's out of Christ. He goes to, on Sunday, he goes here, there, or someplace, and Monday's got to be different, and Tuesday's got to be different, and every day of the week, he's always looking for something to satisfy. You take in this country where sports have taken over, and people are interested in sports, and football, and basketball, baseball, you name it. All the year round, we've got something. Or it might be shows, or it might be the dance, or it might be anything under heaven. Or drinking, or carousing, whatever it may be. You're never satisfied. You're never satisfied. A fellow might say, "Well, if I could only have enough money to retire, I'll be satisfied." You're never satisfied. You're never satisfied. I went one time to a place where there were a group of millionaires, all retired. What a sorry sight. I say that, what a sorry sight. And in fact, I'll tell you this, some of the happiest people I've ever met are Christians who are living in sod shacks. I've had some wonderful times with people who homesteaded away up north and lived in sod shacks until they had enough money to build a home for themselves. Happy as could be. with an earthen floor and just sod for walls. Money's not going to make you happy. Society doesn't make you happy. I don't care what the world offers to you. It's a passing, transient thing. You know, Jesus said just before he left this world, he said to his disciples, "My joy I give unto you, that your joy might be full." If you drink of this water, the water of the world, you'll thirst again. You'll thirst again. But notice, if you will drink of the water that I will give you, you'll never thirst. It'll be in you a spring of water, a running well, if you know what I mean. A well of water springing up into everlasting life. You don't have to pump it. You don't have to pump it. You remember in John chapter 7, 37 and 38, our Lord said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. The Spirit was not yet given, because he was not yet glorified." If you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. If you drink of the water that I'll give you, you'll never thirst. It'll be in you a well, a spring of water, into everlasting life. "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Then Jesus said, "Go and call your husband." Now here is the revelation of the woman, 15 to 20. The revelation of the woman. You see now the woman, he's got this woman. Remember, she came to get water. The topic of conversation is water. He didn't say to the woman, first of all, "Woman, are you saved?" He didn't say that. "Woman, do you need a savior?" No. She was occupied with water. She wanted water. She had to come out in the middle of the day to get water. Jesus said, "Give me a drink." "You have nothing to draw with. You got no pot. Where have you got this water?" "Woman, if you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. You come out here every day. It never satisfies you. Things of the world will never satisfy you. But I've got something that'll satisfy you forever. It'll be in you, a spring of water, springing up, a running well unto everlasting life. Sir, give me this water." "Oh, that's what I want. I don't want to come out here again in the middle of the day and have all these women look down on me. Give me, sir. Sir, give me this water." Jesus said, "Go and call your husband." She said, "I haven't got a husband." He said, "You're right. You've well said you have no husband. You've had five husbands, and the fellow you're now living with is not your husband." She said, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet." Here is the revelation of the woman. You know what she could have said when Jesus said, "Go and call your husband"? She could have said, "Why bring that up? I haven't got a husband. Why bring that up? Why talk about that? Mind your own business." No, friend, listen. The amazing thing, her conscience is stirred. She's in the presence of the eternal Son of God, and her heart is laid bare. But notice, Jesus did not condemn her. Oh, what grace. Oh, what mercy. Oh, how tender the Lord is with this woman. He said, "Yes, woman, you're right. You've had five husbands, and the one you have is not your husband." The Lord goes, deals with her in a very clear, plain language. There's no more mention made of water. There are no secrets from him. "Yes, woman, you're telling the truth." And she said, "But listen, I'm confused about where I should worship God. Where can I worship God?" You see, now he has her in his hand. I say again, the question of water is not again mentioned. He's got right down into her heart, into her conscience. Now, what I want to say to you today is this. You notice this sinful woman with her heart laid bare, her sin evident, in the presence of the judge of the universe. He didn't condemn her. Now, I'm not saying that the Lord condones sin. Oh, no, no. What she needs is cleansing. What she needs is to know God. She's confused, like a lot of folk today. And the Lord reveals himself to her. See, friend, do you ever stop to think that you and I have to stand in the presence of God? And unless I have a repentant heart, I can't stand there. You remember in Luke chapter 7, the woman who washed our Lord's feet, you remember the Pharisee said, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of a woman she is because she's a sinner. Look at her. She's wiping his feet. She's washing his feet. But you see, she was a repentant sinner. And may I say what I've said so often? There's an open place in the very presence of God for every repentant sinner. You have access into the presence of a holy, righteous God. This woman's conscience was stirred. No wonder she cried out, I perceive that you are a prophet. The revelation of her heart, what did it bring? It brought forgiveness. Friend, aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he reveals himself to repentant hearts, he always cleanses them? You take, dear Job could say, I have heard of thee by the hearing of mine ears. Now mine eyes see thee. I abhor myself. Or he could say, Isaiah chapter 6, and when Isaiah saw the Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King. And then to respond, thy lips are cleansed. Your iniquity is purged. When sinners come to the Savior, he doesn't judge them. He saves them. He forgives them. And friend, if you were to come, he'd save and cleanse you from every sin. Why don't you accept him as your own personal Savior and pass from death to life? And the Lord bless you today for his name's sake.